Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland, so welcome back to my channel again. In this video, I'm going to explain why it's highly improbable that Russia will make a breakthrough this year in Ukraine. They've made gains, they are making and they will make gains, but it won't be very significant. They've only gained about 1,000 square kilometers so far this year. Bear in mind, Ukraine is about 420,000 square kilometers all told, and Russia controls, you know, almost a quarter of that already. It's because their rate of gain was so slow early in this year, despite having a 10-to-1 advantage in munitions, according to the Ukrainians. The Ukrainians might have been overstating the urgency of it just because they desperately needed the weapons. They had to ram home to various Western capitals, particularly to the United States Congress, that they either need that, they either get this or they're going to lose the war. That's it. Which would have grave repercussions for the rest of Europe, and indeed for non-European NATO countries as well. And it finally did the trick. Some of these Western munitions have already arrived, more is arriving, and that's why the Russians really intensify their efforts to gain ground now before Ukrainian resistance stiffened. And even when they made such strenuous efforts to gain territory, they gained very little at very high cost. So was this British estimate the other day that the Russians have suffered 500,000 casualties this war. Now, only about a quarter of those are killed, and that is staggering. Bear in mind the Soviet Union, of which Russia was the principal republic, admitted to having lost only 40,000 killed in Afghanistan over 10 years. Now, the Russian Federation is not the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union, its dissolution in 1991, had about 300 million people. Russia claims to have a bit over 140 million people. Really, it's more like 140 million. They lie about that. It's like anything else, like everything else. One of Putin's main objectives is to boost the birth rate, and that he has failed. They're including that the sort of illegally occupied areas of Ukraine as part of the Russian population. So they got less than half the population of the USSR as was. Now that 40,000 figure over 10 years in Afghanistan, that is a lie, like everything else the Soviet government said. The reality is going to be several times that figure. Whether it's 3 times or 10 times, I don't know. I would go towards the lower end of the estimates there. It's likely to be on a par with what they lost in Afghanistan over 10 years. It's been in for 2.5 years. And bear in mind, you know, Russia's less than half the former Soviet population. In real terms, it's much higher. So they're willing to throw lots more people at it. But the thing is, they've lost so much equipment in terms of tanks, artillery pieces, some planes, some helicopters, and so on, getting things out of storage. And the Ukrainians are destroying these things at a faster rate than the Russians can manufacture them. They're not buying much from other countries. They're purchasing things from China, like body armor, some shells. They've obviously got their shells from Iran, Shahid drones from Iran, as in martyr drones. And then the Russians have got a factory in Tatarstan, which is making these Shahid drones to Iranian specifications. But it's the equipment really gains the ground rather than the poor infantry. They're just cannon fodder. So their lives are going to continue to be frittered away, because this should be prime campaigning season. It's just sort of idyllic weather. And the height of summer, obviously you can still do it, but it's so hot and the roads are so dusty, because a lot of them, well, they're off-road, unpaved roads sometimes. You can still gain, but it's not as good as the early summer. That's why I'm actually quite confident that the Ukrainians are going to hang on. I mean, some Western analysts were saying the Ukrainian defenses just weren't good enough. They didn't have the anti-tank ditches, didn't have enough proper underground bunkers or reinforced concrete, things like that. The Russians have to give them credit to them. The Sudovikin line was superb, and that really was impregnable. And the Ukrainians couldn't break it. They got through about 16 kilometers when they needed to get through 160 kilometers. Now, admittedly, they got through some defenses, yes. The Russians could always build more further back. It wasn't 160 kilometers of solid defenses all the way from the very front down to the Sea of Azov, because you'd have some sort of defensive line, a few more kilometers, and another defensive line, and another, and blah, blah, blah. And one of the reasons is because it was the densest minefield on Earth, and the Ukrainians don't have enough landmines, not of their own. They haven't been gifted enough by the United States. Trouble is, most NATO countries have got rid of all their stocks of landmines, because that campaign, it just by Princess Diana just before she died. And it is terrible that landmines were sown all over the place, like in Angola, and it's very expensive, takes decades to demine. People had limbs blown off and so on. So there was a real humanitarian urge to do that. And I do sympathize with the compassion. How would I feel if I had my limbs blown off? But then they have a role as well. They do save lives. So if the Ukrainians had some sort of row of landmines like that, then the Russians couldn't break through that either. But one of the things about the Russians, they can't really track on the southern front because they have to get through their own defenses. They have to demine places. And all right, there might be places where they can funnel through, where they literally have left no landmines, but the Ukrainians will have now figured out where those are and just where to hit them. So even if the Russians do make some sort of breakthrough, they can't really exploit it because they don't have the assets. They don't have enough tanks, armor, personnel carriers, infantry, fighting vehicles. So that's why Ukrainian fighting ability is going to improve. They get in with these new weapons, the F-16s, finally, this summer. And it's really what Eric Prince had to say, you know, the former, well, I think current chief executive of Blackwater, the American private military company. And he said that the United States Air Force, Marines, so on, they are in the U.S. Navy, they retire over 200 fixed-wing aircraft every single year. And these, at the end of their service lives, served like up to 20 years, not sure how long they are. And you could gift all those to the Ukrainians. And of course, they're not in mid-condition, but usually they are airworthy. Just about, and say, oh, well, a little bit unsafe. Yeah, but they could all be shot down anyway, and it's better than not having a plane at all. So imagine that for 2.5 years, how many planes would they have had? At that rate, there were about 500 planes already. Bear in mind, the Ukrainian Air Force is only about 300 fixed-wing aircraft at the beginning. You think of all the other NATO air forces, of all the planes they retire, all the tanks, all the APCs, all the infantry fighting vehicles, all the artillery pieces. Admittedly, they have given some of this already. So their older stuff, not their newer stuff, they tend to hand over. One of the reasons they don't hand over their newer stuff is, plus it's so precious, they don't want to risk it getting destroyed. It's very expensive. It's near the beginning of its service life. Another thing is, should it fall into Russian hands, the Ruskies can study and reverse engineer it and maybe to know how to defeat it, maybe make a copy. And there was a Russian communications truck that the Ukrainians captured very early in the war, and they handed it to the United States. And no doubt US military intelligence had a field day, really enjoyed learning all that secrets and how to hack into Russian military communications. They couldn't do so already. So, I mean, the Ukrainian problem is manpower. For Russia, it's far less of a problem. You know, they're outnumbering the Ukrainian population, something like 3.5 to 1, plus recruiting people from poverty-stricken erstwhile Soviet republics like Tajikistan, Kyrgyzstan, Uzbekistan. Even though it's illegal, those countries, you can be jailed for having done that, and some of them have served in Russia. Few of them been released from the Russian military, gone home and been imprisoned for not that many years. The subtext is their governments don't disapprove that much because they just rather have money, because they got high unemployment, and rather these young guys went and earned some sort of money than stayed at home and caused unrest at home. And they've recruited people from all sorts of countries like Nepal, India, I can't think, various countries, Cuba, and on, often under false pretenses, Zambia, duping people, say, do you want to work in construction work? And then they find themselves pressed into military service. So kidnapped, really. So Russia can sustain these. I think the Ukrainians need to prioritize hitting the Russian Air Force now that they've got these US missiles and rockets that they're allowed to use across the border into Russia proper, because Putin doesn't give a damn about the lives of his people. And it's usually ethnic minority Russians he likes to get killed, not indigenous Russians, the same ethnicity as him, and or people from impecunious regions, remote areas, not Moscow, not St. Petersburg. If you start drafting well-heeled Muscovites, that could turn the elite against him. So he regards these people as dispensable, but is his precious air force, he's husbanded that, and stroking his planes, he doesn't dare to risk those. So that's the kind of thing might make him turn around, or the Navy. He adores the Navy, partly because his father served in the Soviet Navy for a few years. So it's the expensive assets. That's what he's a sort of a pressure point for him. But when we come into 2025, I don't know, because towards the end of this year, a lot of the munitions would have run out. Is there another aid package coming, forthcoming from the US Congress? I don't know. Trump could well be president. The Republicans could dominate both houses of Congress in the United States. Now, fortunately, other NATO countries, they are ramping up their military manufacturing, not enough to rebuild their own stocks, gifting some of the Ukraine, but not enough. I mean, the donations have never been anywhere near enough. Obviously, had this been done properly years ago, this war would never have started. So, you know, as they say, in peace, prepare for war. Not because you want one, precisely to prevent one. It's like having a fire alarm or a fire evacuation system. No, because we don't want a fire. We have to have a contingency if it does happen so that nobody gets killed. I know it's not a perfect analogy. Thanks for watching. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon and donate on PayPal. Bye.